Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jason Jones of The Athletic in the final hour of the show. Talk about building around Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. That's the task that Monty McNair has in building around Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. And we already saw some of that executed over the course of the last season or so with the acquisitions of Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. And we know how valuable both of them have been in the last season. And then the drafting of Keegan Murray. I don't know. And this is where, you know, your Denver, your Calvin Booth, your Michael Malone, you're trusting, you know, your Michael Malone trusting Calvin Booth to work together with the coaching staff, find guys that work for this team. That's the task faced with Monty McNair now and Mike Brown. Find that Aaron Gordon type, find that Christian Brown type, that Bruce Brown type, find that extra piece. You know, Bruce Brown's a really good defender. You know, I look at him like, man, he's just a rare combination of a role player who's a good defender but can still shoot. He can still score. And, I mean, he's not going to you don't want him trying to shoot the lights out for you, but he's a capable scorer in his role. And that seems to be, you know, we talked about Jared Vanderbilt, and Kenny was adamant when it came to adding Jared Vanderbilt to Sacramento. It's like, well, wait a minute, if he can't score, then what do you do? Because he showed in this series, he struggles to score. And we all know the kind of hangups with Davion Mitchell a little bit this year. You can't have them both on the floor at the same time. So it just shows what, like, kind of a rare combination that some of those guys on Denver are, and how, one, difficult they are to find. Two, when you find them, what it can look like.
Yeah, I mean, the mission has to be to find two-way players.
It's just so difficult, though.
Yeah, but you've got to do it. You've got to go out there and find physical, like, two-way players that fit your system. You know the players, what fits. You can see it. You can see that, you know, you need the three-point shooting. You have to find as many, not Bruce Brown, Bruce Bowens. Mm. That's what you need. You need, like, as many of those guys as you possibly can find. And different heights of those guys, you know, if you can get a 6'5", a 6'7", and a 6'9" version, all of those things, like, that's great. That's what you need. You have to be able to go out and find those guys. And again, they're available out there. You can find them, but they've got to be like what you talked about. Like, what's the difference between, like, Bruce Brown is a very good defender. Mm-hmm. Matisse Thybulle's considered an excellent defender, but you lose so much on the offensive end that's not going to work. And you've just got to figure out a way to go out there, and they're hiding. You got to find them, though. And there's other pieces to the puzzle that you need, too. That's why I point to a guy like Josh Hart, which is like the fact that he does everything that Bruce Brown does, but he also averages like 7 rebounds a game from a guard position or a small forward position. That would make a lot of sense. There's a lot of guys, even like we talked about the OG Anunoby thing. I will keep coming back to him because he's just the much better version of Bruce Brown. And like, how do you find these guys? And or how do you acquire them? And you can't just go out there and look for offensive players and high basketball IQ offensive players that can shoot the three. You got to find these two-way guys that are physical and, you know, set the standard. Like, for me, Bruce Brown reminds me a lot of Tony Allen. Like, he's maybe not as crazy as Tony Allen, maybe not quite as good defensively, mm-hmm. but he's right there. And, like, a good ball player, you got to find these guys.
Yeah, it's a difficult task. If with the Sacramento Kings finding those guys, when you evaluate what you need, does everything center on Domas, or does everything center on Domas and De'Aaron, and you find the needs from there, the shortcomings from there? Does everything start with them as the center of how you build this roster?
Yeah, and like, to give Monty a little bit of a break, I mean, he just got these guys together. They only played together like 10 games at the end of last mm-hmm. season before this season started. You really didn't know everything and how it would all fit together until you put some pieces and kind of figured it out this season.
Well, I think headed into last season, and speak from our conversations, both off this show and on this show, everyone knew, well, they need shooting.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That much was clear, even though it was only 10 games. And that's where Monty deserves a ton of credit. Obviously, Monty knew what we all knew, and he went and got it. That was, I mean, not to minimize what Monty did at all. That was obvious. Like, we all knew that. Every Kings fan knew that. Mm-hmm. You knew it. Everyone who watched the team knew it. Now it feels like the process is a little bit more intricate. We could talk about 3-and-D guys. We could talk about, you know, tough guys who could defend. We could talk about all this different. That's a lot harder to find than a, quote, shooter.
Yeah, so this is, like, so my degree's in history, right? So what I love about history is that you can look at, like, a major event, right? And then you can, basically in history, you can scroll in and start looking at a major event, but, like, individual pieces of a major event. And you can just keep using basically the little Google scroll bar until you get all the way into, like, again, reading individual biographies about a specific, you know, war general that did a specific battle. Like, you can get into the nitty gritty, but then you can zoom back out and look at it as, like, a major event again. And so you can zoom in and zoom out. And that's, I think, what the Kings have to do at this point. They've got to a point where, from the, like, the really wide angle, you can see that this is a good team. But when you start to zoom in and get closer and closer, you start seeing where the holes are that you really have to fill. You have to find a way to, again, find the shooter, but find the shooter that can play defense. It can't just be finding a shooter. You've got to find a 6'11" guy who can, you know, run around and defend, but he also has to be able to block shots. Like, there's a way to fine-tune what you've got right now and just continuously make it better. And that's why, again, the Kings are in the first year of this. And that's what's encouraging, is how good they were in the first year. Like, 48 wins is a huge monumental achievement. Now, how do you get to the next level? It's a little bit of growing together. You can get better by growing together, for sure, by keeping the same basic people in place for a couple of years. But even in coming into this offseason, we knew that when they traded Haliburton, they didn't have enough playmaking. So they went out and got a guy like Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And even a subtle guy like Kevin Huerter, who averages a lot more than, you know, he's around like 3.5 assists a game. Those are things that you kind of miss. Like, I think that they did a really good job of filling up some of these pieces. But that's why you also, as a general manager, your job is hard. Because you can go out and make a move one year that looks brilliant, and then the next year it could not work, or the next year you could see that that player, while you like him a lot and he does what you wanted him to do and he doesn't do anything wrong, there are things that he doesn't have in his arsenal that you need to go get. And so that player could have to be replaced, or that player's, like, spot in the rotation could get diminished. So you're always having to basically reassess and rebuild who you are and what your team is at all times.
Let's stick with the Kings. I want to talk more about them, particularly their best path for improvement. So we'll do that when we return here. It's our ESPN 1320 Kings insider, James Hamm, sitting in for Kenny Caraway here on D'Lo with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With over 2,000 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky's the limit if you're 21 and over at Sky River Casino. Trista Crick coming up at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
If you have the opportunity, head over to Anscape and check out an article Mark Spears did with DeAndre Jordan. Really, really great work. Obviously, DeAndre Jordan, a part of the Denver Nuggets. Not a big part of the Denver Nuggets, at least not on the floor, but he seems to be a pretty big part of what they do in the locker room. Great article from our man Mark Spears, and DeAndre Jordan talks a lot about the focus on mental health during the season. How DeAndre, you know, I saw this term twice recently, once when reading this article with DeAndre, and then once when reading an interview with Carmelo Anthony. They both use similar phrasing. Obviously, Carmelo Anthony announced his retirement. DeAndre Jordan, a very minimal role with the Denver Nuggets, at least on the floor. But they both use the term, I'm at peace with where I'm at. I'm at peace with where my career is. And DeAndre has found ways to contribute to this Denver Nuggets team. Again, it's great work, as always, from our man Mark Spears in a different attack on covering a player on the Denver Nuggets. Really great stuff from DeAndre Jordan. Really great stuff from Mark Spears and Anscape. So if you have the opportunity, head over to Anscape.com and check out that article with DeAndre and Mark Spears. We're talking about the Kings. And, well, we kind of related the Kings to the Denver Nuggets and how the Denver Nuggets are, you know, a great model to follow, which feels funny because you have Michael Malone there. And obviously Michael Malone will... You know, part of Michael Malone's story will always be the Sacramento Kings. Like, it's unavoidable, even as he wins, potentially wins championships. Like, the Sacramento Kings will still, you know, be a part of Michael Malone's story. And it's funny how these two can be intertwined together, because it is a great model to follow. And, you know, we started our last conversation talking about Calvin Booth and the job that he has done as the Denver Nuggets general manager of finding the right pieces, and how Monty McNair is tasked with the same duty. You know, Calvin Booth found the right pieces for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and now Monty McNair has to do the same thing with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis. And my question for you is, and I know this is going to take us in a lot of different directions, but is the most likely place for immediate improvement for Sacramento through free agency or through a trade?
I mean, it's tough because they've never been able to get a free agent before.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because we saw both last year, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter came over in a trade.
Yeah.
Malik Monk, who you probably wouldn't put as like a tier one free agent, but they went out and signed him. And whether, you know, we tier these free agents in one, two, or three, wherever you wanted to put Malik Monk was fine. The return was a tier one return for Sacramento.
Yeah.
And that's the that's the unique job of a general manager, finding someone, you know, especially in Sacramento, in tier two or tier three or whatever and getting a tier one return.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the key. And that's what you call like finding the perfect fit, right? And I think that's what Malik was. Malik is the perfect fit in Sacramento. You find a player who's at the right age, who's at the right maturity finally, who is found a home with, you know, a close friend. Like, all of these things like played into why Malik Monk makes so much sense for the Kings. But you got to keep doing it. And like, I'm super cautious about this because I've sat in a conference room while an assistant general manager, not a current assistant general manager, but an assistant general manager for the Sacramento Kings, has tried to convince me and other reporters in the room that the Kings are going to be able to go out and sign an A-list free agent. We're heading towards this. We're on a path where we're going to build the team up to this specific level, and then players are going to want to come here, and we're going to be able to be the ones that go get those players. And you just look at them like, okay, look, do you understand that Vlade Divac is literally the best free agent signing the Kings have ever had still? And after him, it might be Rashawn Holmes or Malik Monk.
Might be Malik, yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, that's like a, and we're not talking about a small sample size. We're talking about 38 years or whatever it is at this point. It's just not a small sample size. So it's really, really difficult for Sacramento to be a player in the free agent market. Now, does winning, does the style of play, does all that matter? Sure it does. But you got to be able to do something that's never happened before. And it's kind of like making the playoffs for the first time. You've got to be able to break through and get someone to sign here that you wouldn't typically think would sign here. I think they got really close when George Hill signed, because George Hill on paper was he's probably the best free agent signing ever on paper, but it never worked out at all functionally. So how do you go get that guy? And I don't think the Kings necessarily have to find an A-list free agent. That could certainly put you over the top, or making a trade. So I would still say that making a trade is the easiest way for the Kings to improve. They can, you know, they have the 24th pick in the draft. You're not going to, you could find a game changer, but a game changer that's more like 2 years down the road that can help out. You can also miss, and that guy could never play in the league hardly at all. I mean, you could find another Malachi Richardson or Scal Abissiere or Yorgos Papayannis. I mean, ooh, there's plenty of
James
guys
in here talking dirty on a
Justin Jackson, Harry Giles. Like, we could keep talking. There's so many times where you missed from picks 10 until picks whatever. But I think trade is still the way, and that's where, you know, someone brought up earlier in the chatty house, can you clear up your free agent? I mean, your first round picks. Yeah, I mean, Atlanta pretty much understands that they're going to get the Sacramento Kings 2024 first-round pick. Like, this team looks like a playoff team for next season. Whether that's the 24th pick or whether it's the 18th pick, whatever it might be, you could probably make a call to Atlanta and swing that deal. And so then you would have access to your 26, 28, and I think 2030 first-round picks now, because we'll switch calendar year and you'll be able to move those picks. So I'd say if I'm Monty McNair, you've built a winner. There's another piece that's missing that you have to go find. And Sasha Vezenkov is a perfectly fine free agent, you know, European free agent signing. But we're talking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 in your rotation, maybe 10 in your rotation. We're not talking 1 through 5. And this team still needs that 1 through 5 guy, especially if Harrison Barnes is no longer with this team. And even if you bring Harrison back, you still have the lack of length and athleticism. And I think it brings us to a longer discussion about, like, what do you do with some of the pieces that you already have? Like, can Kevin Huerter play some small forward? He's 6'7". And can you find something different? Well, he should be able to. Yeah, and I actually, like, speed-wise, I feel like he's better fit for that position. So, like, even I thought Buddy Hield was always defensively, he was much better at the 3 than he was at the 4. I mean, at the 2. And I think Kevin Huerter, we might get to that point too. We're just lateral quickness wise, like, you might not be strong enough, and you might not have the length that you need, but lateral quickness might be okay at that position. And I think that means more than some of the other intangibles when it comes to defense. And so I don't know, like they've got to figure out some things, because I even like look at if you do like a lineup here on the wall of their four guards with Davion and De'Aaron and Malik Monk and Kevin Herter, they don't fit together. The four of them don't fit together. You need a bigger defensive-minded guard, and you need something slightly different in that backcourt. You got your star, you've got your six man, you've got your sharpshooter, and you've got your defensive specialist, but again, they come in two similar packages or two different of packages, if you don't understand what I'm saying. So, like, again, I like the idea of De'Aaron Fox and Kevin Herter. I don't necessarily like the idea of having a 6 foot guard and a 6 foot three guard as your, a lightweight 6 foot three and Malik Monk as your two reserves. Like, defensively, it's really tough to compete. And so I think that there are tweaks that have to be made still, even within the rotation that we think that is their rotation.
There's a lot more I want to talk about with that. But James, buckle up, because Mitch is on the phone, 916-909-1320. Mitch, what's happening, man?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mitch.
That was great seeing the Lakers go like that. LeBron, saying he was a guy, he played all 40 minutes. He had the best game, almost another triple, though. They got to build around that team. I mean, Davis got to put up more. I'm already hearing about trades, and no way he's going to retire.
I don't think so either.
Two more years, you know, wait for Bronny. And then he has a 15-year-old I was just reading about. Bryce, he's 6'6". I don't know what they feed him. I wish I had gotten hold of that recipe. Right, Damon would be a little taller. He's 6'6 already. Boy, LeBron certainly has to steer his kids towards just basketball. I mean, they got football bodies, I would think.
LeBron's always been built like a football player, and Bryce looks to be no except. He looks to be built just like his dad. Yeah.
16 years old, 15 years old. All Kings got to do, I wish Michael Porter was a free agent, because I'd love to have him. We did draft his brother, but I think he's playing over in Europe. But, you know, his brother's not as good, I guess. Best player available, and sign a backup center or a wing, right? Those are our two biggest needs.
Mitch, you're a little reserved today. Is everything okay?
I'm on vacation.
Oh, okay. All right. It's vacation, Mitch. Okay, Mitch.
My grandson's knocking me out. I don't know how my wife does it. I only had a part-time today, and he wants to walk. He's getting there. He's going to be walking before his first birthday. I'm taking bets. He wants July 11th.
If you want. There you go. We appreciate you, Mitch. Have a great rest of your vacation. Normally, Mitch, sometimes Mitch is all over the place.
Be a little crazy.
I'm sorry. Help me out with Michael Porter's brother,
Jontay Murray. The Kings did not draft him. Okay. Memphis drafted him, and he didn't make it in the league. He's still only 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch. We appreciate you, as always. Mitch always has ideas on. See, Mitch is in New Jersey, but he's a Kings fan. That's just how it is.
That makes sense. The accent, certainly.
New Jersey. That'll get you. Sometimes he's running from dogs when he's on the phone with. It's a whole process. But we love Mitch for sure. You were focused on the guards there for a minute, and my question specifically was trade and free agency. Internally, though, is the most room for growth with Keegan Murray?
Yes. Like, for sure, as far as, like, what we're looking at with a player, like, individually. I think the biggest area for growth is to stay together, to keep a core together and let them like build chemistry together. But like individually, Keegan Murray is the guy. And the reason I say that too is, like, we've talked about this a little bit, but you know, again, the Kings think that both the Murray brothers, like, they have young bodies. Like, they haven't you know, they're late bloomers. And so you're at a point with Keegan where you can go one of two ways. He's not going to look like what he looks like today, next year, or the year after. Like, he's just not. He is either going to slim down a little bit and sort of be more cut, and they're going to work on lateral quickness and agility and all that stuff, or they're going to bulk him up. And I'm not saying, like, bulk him up where he's running around out there looking like Michael Cage or something, but like, there's a point where you can actually, you know, see that he would be more defined, that he's going to be, like, just in better shape. Mm-hmm. And again, that's sort of what they have to decide with him. Is he a three that plays four or four that plays three type deal? If he can stick at the three, I think it changes everything for the Kings. Like, really, it does. It makes it a lot easier for the Kings to continue this build. If he can't stick at the three and he's a four, that's not a horrible thing. It's just that, you know, you start running into other players that you can get on your roster that can help you that play that position.
So if Keegan has the most room for growth in internally within this team, who's second?
Yeah, that's a funny question. I mean, because I'm going to say it's either De'Aaron Fox or it's Malik Monk.
Okay.
Because I don't think that there's another player.
Wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, because, and it's not a slight on Davion. That's what people don't, like, Davion for me has always been, he's a tough fit for this team. Just like the way that he plays the game, his skill set can be optimized in other systems better than it can in Sacramento. I've always thought that. He's not a catch and shoot shooter. Mm. He should be, because he played with like two other point guards at Baylor. It's like him and Jared Butler, like, running a dual point guard, and they had another point guard as well. Like, there should have been a point where he could like really grasp the concept and be better off ball. And he shot the ball really well from three as a senior at Baylor, but that hasn't translated to the NBA at all. And so there's a lot of times where if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he looks a little bit lost on offense, and he's gotten better about it. And it's on both ends of the ball, you know, like on the defensive end too. He's a guy that if he isn't defending the guy with the ball, can get lost in rotations. And so they've worked really hard. And that's the piece that I keep saying I'm going to write about Davion is the work that he's done with Doug Christie. The problem that Doug has is that it doesn't matter what he does with Davion. There's no way for him to make him 6'6" or 6'7" like Doug is with a 6'10" wingspan. Like, there's no way to make Davion grow. And Davion does everything in his power to be, like, in the best physical condition that you can possibly imagine. He's a player who's barely missed any games in his career and probably won't miss a bunch of games in his career. But because he's always going to be De'Aaron Fox's backup in Sacramento, I just look at him as, like, a piece that may fit better somewhere else, and that you could find a guy who can play 15 to 18 minutes a game that's long and rangy and provides something different than what Davion does. Not a true ball handler, more of like a Bruce Brown or a Torrey Craig or one of these guys that really is more 3-and-D than he is, you know, a pure distributor. Because you do have these other mechanisms in place, like Malik Monk's ability to take over the point guard position with the second team, and then Domantas Sabonis' ability to direct traffic as sort of the center of the universe big. So I just think that there are other players that fit better. And this is, again, I don't think Davion's a bust at all. I think he's a really solid NBA player. I also think he's a heart and soul guy. He's a guy who, you know, puts in all of the work. But sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes it's just not the right player for the right team.
So what is it unfair for Kings fans, anyone, to like expect something different from Davion?
Yeah, that's what I think.
This is who, like, what we've seen, this is who Davion is.
He can be better within the role, but, you know, I think it's hard because in his rookie season, he averages 12 points a game, and in his sophomore season, he averages 6. Like, can he be in the middle? Can he be like an 8 or 9 point per game guy? Sure. But you're still going to run into limitations with him, in my opinion. And that's just because you don't have, like, the necessary minutes for him to, like, develop and really grow and build a, you know, find a rhythm in every single game. It's hard, especially the way that they put him in and out of games last year, where they would go, you know, for a couple of minutes and then pull him. You know, they would like pull Fox at the 6 minute mark. Davion would come in for 3 minutes. They pull Sabonis at the 9 minute mark and pull Davion with him and put Fox back in. And then Davion would start the second. Like this whole weird rotation thing. I got why they were doing it, but the guy who really lost in that whole situation was Davion. And he was being a good teammate and he didn't complain about it, but it's hard. Like I talked to him so many times this season about finding a niche. And I don't think he was ever able to truly find his niche. So, and, you know, again, like a guy like Kyle Lowry, he backed up point guards in Houston for a long time before he got his shot. And then next thing you know, he became an all-star. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, there is potential for him to be way more than what he is. But is there ever going to be a time where he's playing? I thought he'd played 24 to 25 minutes this last year. No. I mean, he was lucky to get 18, and as we got deeper in the season, got less.
Let's get Donald in here, 916-909-1320. Trista Crick coming up at the top of the hour. Donald, what's going on, brother?
Hey, thank you, guys. I wanted to talk about, real quick, I'm out here walking, but the conversation you guys had yesterday about Nikola Jokic and how he should be perceived or how he should be treated as an NBA player. And, you know, and I want to say this without coming across as a jackass, but I think the bottom line is that you guys ought to know that we live in a perception is in, you all work in the business, that perception is reality. And I think how you are perceived a lot of times is what you are going to be in the eyes of others. And I kind of look at that as far as Jokic, as great of a player as he is. And, you know, the perception of him may change if he can pull this off. But right now, he's just not perceived as this mega superstar elite athlete for whatever reason. Right? Mm-hmm. Longer indifferent.
Yeah.
It could be race. It could be body type. It could be national origin, all of the above. And I just think that that's what it is. And it may change. And I look at the same way as Shohei Ohtani. He's doing great things, but he's not perceived as this mega superstar. So, you know, quit trying to force this, you know, on I guess, the basketball consumer. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's the best player in the game.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think those are actually two different conversations, being a megastar and being the best player in the game, because I actually agree with Donald with what you were saying there, in the sense that that there's probably a lot of different things at play. You brought up Shohei Ohtani. I think I disagree with you in that sense. I think Shohei Ohtani is so good, he's changing the perception of everything, like whether he gives interviews or appears on talk shows. None of that matters, because what he's done, we've literally never, ever, ever seen in our life. And that trumps everything else. With Jokic, and I've, you know, obviously, Donald, leading into yesterday's show, we thought a lot about this. And you brought up body type, you know, national origin, all those different things. And I just get, I get stuck with almost like the professional wrestling mentality of, there's always been this belief that, and it's probably an accurate belief, that Vince McMahon likes guys to look a certain way. He essentially wants his biggest stars to look like superheroes. And when you look at Hulk Hogan always looked like a superhero to a certain degree. The Rock looks like a superhero. Like some of his biggest stars, they all look like these larger than life personalities. Roman Reigns, to a certain degree, he might not be a superhero, he's a super villain.
And John Cena.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. With Nikola Jokic, he just looks like a guy. Like, he doesn't have, I mean, he's a big guy. He doesn't have the freakish build that LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo have. And again, we're talking about players in a very, very rare category. What makes you stand out? LeBron James' athleticism, his build. You ever see that dude in person? Like, it literally, it looks like he's chiseled. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the same exact thing. How many guys, I mean, talk about Nikola Jokic, like the guy who sneaky runs everybody off the gym at 24-hour fitness. It doesn't mean that it's right. It just means it's part of the perception. And I think the perception of being a megastar versus being the best player in basketball aren't the same thing. And we can argue to death whether Jokic is a megastar. I don't think that he is.
No.
But he's the best player in basketball. And that's it. If doubters need something, this playoff run has to start to solidify that. Giannis is at home. Joel is at home. LeBron James is at home. Steph Curry is at home. Those are the guys in his category. Now, I believe that basketball is a team sport. That's a hot take right there. Basketball is a team sport, so who you have around you is very important, but we can't pretend like we don't talk about Joel doesn't have a ring. We don't say the Philadelphia 76ers. We say Joel. Joel doesn't have a ring. That's how we refer. Giannis needed to win a ring. Well, he did. That's part of being in that exclusive top-tier megastar room.
Yeah, okay, so the Ohtani thing. First of all, I don't buy that at all. Like, I love baseball, and Ohtani is the biggest of the biggest superstars.
He is. You know, I'm sorry. I want you to hold that thought. Okay. I want to hear your response to this, but I want to hear it when we get back. And Trista Crick will join us. We've got all of that coming up. It's D'Lo and Casey with James Hamm here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Ham, I want to get back to your reaction, your thoughts on a megastar here, but I want to grab E-Biz real quick. 916-909-1320. What's up, E-Biz?
What's up with it, y'all, man? I'll be quick, man, but I just want to know, how do you guys feel about Keon Ellis? Because I really feel that he is somebody that we can use, and I just brought him up because you know what Spo and everybody in Miami has been able to do, like when they gave people in G Leagues another shot, gave them a shot. So I'd like to hear from you guys. Let me know how you guys feel about him, because I really feel that he can be somebody that can make a difference with the team.
No doubt. Appreciate you, E-Biz, as always. Keon Ellis.
Yeah, so I've talked to people around the team, and they like what Keon brings to the table. They really like what he was in his first year. You have to remember he's an undrafted player after 4 years of college. But he's exactly the type of player that if I'm a general manager that I'm going after for my when I'm building out my G League squad and when I'm trying to build out my two-way platform. And he is exactly what you want to build. You want to build a guy who is a 3-and-D player. The problem that I have is that what I can't do is sit here and talk about how Davion 6 foot tall and De'Aaron 6 foot three and Malik 6 foot three, and they're like those two dudes, and specifically, like they're still slight of frame. They're not big, you know. Like you look at Bruce Brown or you look at Kentavious Caldwell Pope; those are grown ass men, right? And that's not. Fox is bulked up, and he's gotten bigger as he's gotten older. He came into the league at 165 pounds, and he plays at like 185 to 190 now. And Malik probably plays around like 175 to 180. Like, these aren't big guys. And then Keon Ellis, he gained 8 pounds during the season, but, like, that dude might be 170, like, soaking wet. And so you can't have too many of these guys that, while they can be versatile and they can be athletic and they can get you a speed and all those things, you still need them to be able to hold their own against bigger players, which is what, again, you go to the Denver Nuggets. They had so many different looks to throw at LeBron. They had so many different looks to throw at Rui Hachimura. So many different looks to throw at Austin Reeves. And that's just this series. Like, go back to the other series. They have so many different looks to throw at Devin Booker. And the Kings need to have different looks. So I think that Keon Ellis can make it. I like him. He's got a great personality. He's a fun dude. Mm-hmm. But I think he's, first of all, I was told he's further away than Nemias Keita. For sure, as far as a player, as far as development. He needs another year. He needs another offseason. And they need to stack on 15, 20 pounds. And that's going to be really hard for him. But there could come a point in his life where the metabolism slows down a little bit, and he is actually able to bulk up and become like a bigger version of who he is. You don't want to lose his speed and quickness, but you know, there are some other issues, like he can't play point guard. That's just not something that he's not a point guard. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at an undersized two guard. And again, I like him. I think he can make it. It's just, how does he fit?
Okay. I want to give you a chance because Trista is going to join us at the top of the hour. Donald, we were talking to Donald a few minutes ago, and we just brought up Nikola Jokic and kind of, you know, him and I disagreed a little bit about, you know, separating a megastar from the best player in basketball, and he brought up Shohei Ohtani. I'm of the belief that Nikola Jokic, for probably a variety of different reasons, isn't a megastar, but he is the best player in basketball, and those both of those things can be true. And he mentioned Shohei Ohtani in that conversation, and you had a response right before the commercial break.
Yeah, I think mentioning Ohtani is just kind of strange because I don't relate them at all. And plus, like, we're looking at Ohtani here in the U.S., but if people outside of the U.S. like look at him much differently, he is a superstar in the mm-hmm. world, and he is a superstar here as mm-hmm. well, but he is a super. And you said that we've never seen anything like this. We have. His name was Babe Ruth. That's who we saw.
I wasn't around for that.
No, so. None of us were, but that's the guy who could pitch. And I'll tie it to Jokic in this way. He could pitch. He won like 197 games. He hit home runs. He had more home runs most seasons than all of the other teams had, like combined, like their team totals. There were a point where he was hitting more home runs as an individual than the other teams were hitting. But at the same time, he looked like Jokic. It's a different era. It's a different world we live in now, where what you look like is going to play a big part into how famous you're going to be, especially at the NBA level, where there is no helmet, there is no baseball hat. It's, you know, you're a big dude who stands mm-hmm. out, you're a gigantic person, and he just doesn't look the part of a superstar, and there's nothing he can do about that. And then the other thing, like we talked about yesterday, like he hasn't had like the Rod Tidwell moment where he just like throws it all out there and shows you the personality that he is, because he does have a big personality. We just don't see it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay for him not to have that. But I was even saying, like when you were coming back, I felt like after the game last night, when the buzzer sounded, Jokic was about to take, he was overwhelmed in the moment, and you could see him like, and it looked like he was going to take a knee. And I think that that would have been like a moment where you would have seen the slow pan camera going around him, and he would have had this like amazing moment for himself, but he got mobbed.
He got mobbed, yeah.
He got mobbed. And yeah. So he didn't have that moment, but I feel like that might be his career. He's always going to miss that moment because that's not who he is.
I also think he composed himself because LeBron came over to him.
Yeah,
and but I think he had the idea of not showing up LeBron. Like yeah. I think a lot of players do that, and it's a respectful thing to do. I don't think he wanted to show up LeBron. He got mobbed. LeBron started to leave, stopped, shook a few hands, came over to Jokic. Jokic had gotten the treatment from his teammates, but then kind of regrouped as LeBron walked towards him.
Yeah, and I kind of wish that they would have let him have that moment, because mm-hmm. how many times does LeBron have the moment? I mean, that guy waits until everybody is on the court. Every single game, he waits until everyone else is on the court. Then he goes over and he gets his little rosin in his hands and he throws it up in the air and he has this moment for himself where, I'm the greatest in the world. I am the greatest ever.
Well, he is. One. Two, it's a great moment for the fans, too. Like, I don't think he does that as this big. Well... No, maybe he does.
He does, just like...
I mean, Michael used to do the thing with the powder, too. He did it differently. But, like, everybody watched it. He put a... And he did, like, right at the scorer's yeah. table.
And, you know, Buddy Hield would rip the plastic off.
He would.
Clean his feet. And then he would ball it up. And then he would throw it to Alex. Uh-huh. Who would have a basket out, like put his arms out, and he would shoot into, like, he did that every pregame. So, like, these, I just feel like Jokic
flies in the face of Katie's. He just has to make his first one.
Yeah. You know. I think the Nuggets are just fighting for recognition and who they are and, like, their place in the NBA world. And I even feel like we could get to the end of this season and they still could not get their props. Even if they win the whole thing, you could still see a way where they're just like, okay, well, it was a down year. The Western Conference was down. Like, oh,
like, this is a team that's consistently been at the top. You think that really could happen?
Yeah, because how close are we from people saying, oh, the Western Conference was parity or the Western Conference was bad? It was just a down year for the Western Conference. I don't think we're that far from that because I believe that there were a lot of bad
teams. Well,
Josh
said they're good in the Western Conference, so there's, you know, there's that. I don't know. I mean, I think that brings up an entirely, you know, different conversation that we could have today or tomorrow about the conference and about who the next team to make that step is. But I think one of the unique things about what you just said is Denver has been at or very near the top for a couple of years now. I mean, last year, who was the one? Was Denver the one seed last year?
That's a good question.
I mean, Golden State, I think, was three.
Last year, they finished 48-34. They were sixth in the West.
Wasn't it Phoenix?
It was Phoenix. That's right. Phoenix was like a 60-win team, I think.
The year before, they were 47-25. They were third in the West in the 72-game season. 46.
Well, I'm sorry. Oh, that's a 72-game season, isn't it?
Yeah, and both back-to-back, like 46-27 and 47-25. Those are both COVID-shortened. And before that, they were second in the West at 54-38. We don't consider them the same way, though. Like, everyone just assumed that the Phoenix Suns were going to, like, come in and win the whole thing. You know, that's like the assumption was that the Warriors would snap out of it and take over the West.
Well,
like at any point.
I don't know. I don't know that I felt that, but I did lean on Phoenix before the trade. I was leaning on Phoenix after the trade. Thought, oh, okay, this is dangerous. And then during the playoffs, it was clear. Oh, their depth is gone. Their depth is shot. I don't know how they're going to get – I don't know how Denver might not just be back here next year. I don't necessarily mean in the conference finals. They certainly could be. But I said this to you yesterday. This could be the beginning of an extended run for Denver. Now, I believe they're a few years into building something, but – if you talk about getting over humps, maybe they've gotten over a hump now to where this is the beginning of an extend. This is a championship window. We use the term window.
Mm-hmm.
This is a championship window now for the Denver Nuggets, regardless of what happens in the next series that is open now for the next few years.
Oh, I think it should be. Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't think of a reason it wouldn't be.
But would you consider them the favorite next year? You're going to lump them in with a bunch of other teams.
For me personally, I can't unsee what I saw with Phoenix. They look tough. And while Kevin Durant isn't as old as LeBron James, we talk about this all of the time. The three of us talk about this. Like, Kevin Durant's not playing 82 anymore. The question is, how many is Kevin Durant playing? And is your roster good enough? You joked with someone a couple of days. You know what Phoenix needs to do? They need to go trade for Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, and basically all of the guys that they lost.
Jay Crowder. Or just take the seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that talent that they lost in the Kevin Durant trade, that's what they need back. That's the depth that they need back. I don't know that I can put Phoenix up there. I can't put Golden State up there. I'm not putting Memphis up there on principle alone. I mean,
but what about the Kings?
That's what I was going to say. Like, Denver and why can't it be Denver and Sacramento?
I think it.
And not that Phoenix is going to be bad. I don't believe Phoenix is going to be bad, but yeah. I don't know that they're going to sustain. Like, they might be closer to what they were this year. The Clippers might be close to what they were this year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the roster is there, but in terms of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard being healthy and playing for an extended series, I need to see it.
Yeah.
That's what I need to see it before I can. I made proclamations last year about that team being in the finals. I ain't doing that again. Fool me once, you can't get fooled again. I'm not doing it.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that Denver is one of those teams that will be difficult for them to ever get their due. And we've seen that throughout the history of the league where teams were really, really good for stretches. And either one team is like considered something that's incredible, but they never actually win anything. And another team is considered, you know, like it's kind of like we get in this discussion about like Trey Lyles and Malik Monk. Like Malik Monk will have the noisiest 13 points you've ever seen.
Oh,
Trey
yeah.
Lyles will finish with 16. And you look up and like, how in the world did he finish with 16?
Yeah.
Like those are, it's just kind of the way that it works. Like, again, I keep saying this. It's like the, if they want to have their Rod Tidwell moment where they go out and do something that's out of norm and they show a different side of themselves, then maybe they break through. But right now, the most fiery, biggest personality thing that the Denver Nuggets have, it's Michael Malone. That's who you want in front of the camera all the time.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.